Grand rising, everybody. Natalie coming to you live. Spirit and coffee. Got my coffee here. It's been a little while. I didn't get on here yesterday, but wanted to talk about today something about transpersonal psychology, which is sort of the space that I'll be learning in now moving forward. Good morning, LRD. So looking at our spiritual experiences and what it means to us. So there's tons of theories out there about how we move through life and our spiritual experience. And some of the theories sort of arised, at least in Western culture, from people like Carl Jung, Sigmund Freud. They came up with the new psychology. Before that, it was, you know, they were looking at psychology and they had psychiatrists and they had people in psychiatric wards, and they would try to, if somebody had a mental illness or something was mentally quote unquote wrong with them, they would shock them. I mean, they did some horrific things to individuals, people with schizophrenia. They were trying to get rid of people who they felt didn't meet the normal standard of society. So as history, you know, went on, we had people like Freud who came out and said, you know, let's kind of look at this, the dream world, let's look at the shadow side. And then they started a different psychology, right? Where they opened up to what we call the dream world or the shadow. And then Jung went as far as to say, you know, we need to start looking at this more intently and start writing about it in the literature, the academic literature, where Freud said, no, we've got to keep it scientific. Carl Jung wanted to look at things that could not be proven right, wrong, or within the framework of academia. And so there arise this new psychology, one of them being transpersonal psychology. And I can tell you that when we talk about it from a scholarly level, that some people don't necessarily in the academic field call it a scientific academic. They don't give it merit, basically. They don't give it what I believe is important for us, especially if you're seeking therapies. Good morning, blessing, L blessing. If you're seeking therapies in the world and you're looking for a psychologist or you're looking for some spiritual grounding, transpersonal psychology takes into account our spiritual experiences. Now, each individual has their own unique way of experiencing the divine. We don't all experience it the exact same way. So there are some models, and there are a couple of models that we've been working with that some of them I don't 100% agree with for myself, just based on my own perception. But again, I think most people in life sort of go through these states of transcendence where they tap into their higher essence and power. And they start to have this connection to God, to the divine. Well, we lose that. So one of them is a model by Washburn, and it's called Dynamic Ground. Dynamic Ground is a process that he looked at, and it was an extension of Carl Jung's sort of works. So if you don't know what Carl Jung did, which I didn't until recently, I never really followed any particular person, especially people in the Western world, because I feel like we're sort of going back to the Eastern ideas and ideologies and looking at that and saying, oh, we totally missed that, right? We went so far left brain. We went so scientific with our spiritual experiences that what ended up happening is a total distortion. And it's just half the picture. So we're not really looking at what's happening spiritually inside of us and talking about that, right? The sciences. And so when people don't fit into this mold, they tend to go to a loony house, right? So it's like, oh, you did what? You heard, these spirits talking to you. If, think about the Bible and all these stories. If you go back, Moses, he said, I went to to Mount Sinai or whatever it is, and there was a bush and the bush talked to me. I mean, if you said that today, people would probably, I think they're opening up to it, but in the Western world, it might be like, are you okay? What were you on? What kind of drugs were you taking, right? They wouldn't be so acceptable today to have those type of conversations. But it's starting to open up. Why? Because we have these transpersonal psychology, and in the school of psychology, we're starting to honor those spiritual, transcendental things that we tap into as we become an adult. So dynamic ground is a model or theory that says that, good morning, that when we sort of are born, right, when we are this tiny little baby, that we are connected into divine source and to dynamic ground. This is a place where there's no duality, right? If you think of a baby, you can't really say that they understand that they have a separate self and that they're separate and that there's an extension of themselves, or they don't even recognize that, right? And so what he's saying is that as we start to get older, and this is Freudian as well, that we start to develop something called the id and the ego and the super ego, and that we need that separation to develop an ego, so that we can then start to see ourselves as separate from the world. And that's what gives rise to consciousness. We're going to say, well, consciousness arises as we start to see that we are, and we see, right? This is through our senses and our eyes, that we are somehow autonomous, right? That we somehow are separate from, well, that's what it's saying, that eventually in life we grow this ego, and it's not until a midlife crisis. This is his theory. I don't 100% agree with it, but that we get to a certain point and then we have something called a midlife crisis. And that midlife crisis then becomes what we call, or some call, the dark night of the soul. And so this dark night of the soul is a space where the ego has to surrender, or surrenders, and then has a transcendence of, that connection to the wholeness of God or the divine or universe or whatever you call it, right? But that experience, our spiritual experiences that we have, and that it takes all that time to get there. Now, I think that most society plays out this way. I don't think all of society plays out this way. There's also other quote unquote theories that talk about the fact that we bridge duality, and that bridging of duality gives us the opportunity to experience transcendence. So there would be points where we experience the divine when we collapse that duality. And the duality being, there's different dualities, right? It could be the sacred feminine, sacred masculine, where we see it as separate. But when we start to bridge it into wholeness and we start to connect the two, that when that starts to happen, we start to have those beautiful transcendence and miracles. We start to experience miracles. And we can get to the point where we become the witness. Right. And then after we become the witness, we go into the context. And I think the context is where we sort of would disappear. I think we'd lose our minds if we hit that state and couldn't get out of it. So it's almost like this progression that we see happening with individuals. Rarely will people get to a space where we can actually experience this. And it's very few people that will take the journey and actually experience that space. Okay. Have a wonderful day. Sorry, my day just got slapped. No worries. I imagine it's because we're not talking about sex, which is our sexual stuff, which tends to be more of a popular topic, right? I could get on here and talk about, you know, the consciousness, and it's not until it becomes a sort of pop culture that individuals will come on here. So it literally, this topic right now, most people aren't going to listen to, most people aren't going to apply it to their life. Why? Because it takes a lot of work and a lot of digging deep, right? It's deep thinking, deeper than most people are willing to go through. And not because they're right, wrong, good or bad, or, oh, someone's better than, no, it's because it's not an easy task to get to a place where we're really looking at that duality, when we're really starting to bridge the gap and sort of find that space of balance. It's not an easy process, and most people don't and won't. It just is, until they're forced into submission, which is what I call a tower event. And then they have to look at it, right? They have to start dissecting it and looking at it. So to get to the space of transcendence and get to these spaces where we have these really magical and miracles show up in our life takes a lot of, it takes some work, and it takes us digging deeper into the consciousness, the unconscious, and really trying to work with that space that's void. But most people won't, again. And that's why I say it's not easy, because I can talk from a pop, like pop culture. And in pop culture, I can say, well, let's just keep it surface level. Well, guess what? Everybody's keeping it surface. I'm not going to. That's not my purpose. That's not my function. That's not why I'm here. I would say if we looked at it, what would be the teacher of teachers? Because people that tend to seek out this information have done a ton of work to get to this place. People don't just arrive at this place overnight. They could, I mean, if they had, but that would be that they've gone through some really, really dark, dark moments in their life where they've hit rock bottom, and there's this sort of bridge between that and the awakening or their transcendence, right? Now, we don't stay in that space. That's the thing. People think that we're going to come to this place of enlightenment and stay there. That's not how it works. We've got to come back down to earth. We've got to come back and ground ourselves, because we are here, and we're here to be messengers. We're here to give our gifts to the world. We're here to remember that we're worthy and open up our consciousness and say, look, I'm here and here's my gifts. You could stay in these spaces, but really, what are you doing? You can lose your mind. Literally could lose your mind. There are people who lose their mind when they get into these states. I almost lost my mind, in fact, right? Because good morning goes on Podbean. So I've almost lost my mind. I've reached a state of the witness or the observer or being the context of what I see in my world. And let me tell you what, when the ego kicked in, there was tons of fear that showed up. The fear showed up because the ego was fighting, right? The ego is not permanent. The ego is not permanent, and it's death. When we think about the death of the ego, it starts to get, it's afraid. The fear arises. That's part of the fear that we sort of arises in it within us. Think about it. Like, people are afraid of heights. Why are they afraid of heights? Well, the ego wants to survive, right? The ego's try, like, I'm not ready to go. I'm not ready to go. And so what ends up happening, right? It's like you look down and you're like, holy crap, if I fall, I'm done. I'm gone. There's something inside our stomach, right? Our stomach's like another brain where things start to turn up in our stomach. We're like, holy crap, there's no way. Some people won't do it, right? There's going to be people that never jump out of a plane. Well, I can tell you it's fun. I've done it, but some people won't, right? We won't face our fears because what'll happen? We might die. So the ego, when it's faced with death, there's fear. But the soul, the internal soul that we have, is not, because it's everlasting. It's immortal. And this is what they understood throughout history, is that our soul is immortal, that there isn't this death, that the death is really the death of the ego. The ego that arises in us as we grow up and we start to crystallize, right? Or we start to bring together these personalities that we believe we are. When we start to unwind that and we start to recognize those personalities or archetypes, if you want to call them that, we're, that we embody, and we recognize that it's just energy moving through us, right? Then maybe we'll say, oh, well, those energies have been here for ages. Those energies inside of you that are drawn up have a myth behind them. There's myth behind them, ancient myth. So when you think about personality, it's called a constellated energy that happens within you, and it shows up as an archetype. So some archetypes that I hold or energies that I hold naturally are Venus or Aphrodite, right? And I've been kind of going into her archetype in some ways about like sexuality, sexual alchemy. What does that mean? Which people tend to love that topic, of course. They'll stay on the podcast for that one. They're like, let's talk about sex, right? Let's talk about sex, baby, right? People love to talk about sex and relationships. It's such a primal thing, right? It's at the base of who we are. And then, you know, there's this sort of Buddha inside of me as well, where I'm looking to seeking truth, seeking my internal truth, my authentic truth. Right. And then so if you're looking at your archetypes within you, if you know what energies exist within you, you can work with them instead of against them. And this is where the suffering sort of shows up, because we tend to not listen to some of these archetypes that are there to help guide us. They're there to support us through the process. Okay. They're not the ultimate God. Of course not. Right. We can never truly understand the ultimate God, but there are these patterns. If you thought about creator as creating these patterns that exist within the realm of this time and space, that there's this rise of archetypal energy that shows up, and that rise of energy exists within us. And so when we start to learn what archetypal patterns exist within us, what energies are personalities, if you want to call it that, might be an easier word, then we start to say, oh, I know how to work with this energy. I know how to work with it for the benefit of myself and humanity. I understand my purpose with this particular energy, right? Because there's all these energies that are sort of clawing at us. Think about it. You're not the same person you are with your maybe wife or husband or even friends. Like, you're a different person, right? This whole new different person sort of triggers or turns on, and you're like, whoa, like now we're talking about something totally different. Maybe I'm talking about sports with my friends, and with my wife, I'm talking about something totally different, like dinner or whatever it is. Hey, Linga, how are you? So as these archetypal patterns show up within us and we learn how to utilize them, right? How much have I missed? Well, I just talked about dynamic ground, and I talked about a couple of theories within transpersonal psychology. And I was talking about how most individuals, it's funny because I have people getting on and off really quickly. Most people won't do the work necessary to experience the miracle. And to experience the miracle, we've got to or get to really dig deep into the psyche. If we don't dig deep into the psyche, we're never going to get there. But most people keep it very surface level, and they want some woo-woo, I don't know what feelings. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But it's not going to get you to this space where you become the master of your universe. Okay. To become the master of your universe, you have to understand so many things, and you have to work with so many energies, right? Because once you do, once you learn how to utilize these archetypal energies, once you understand yourself enough and you know what energies are talking to you, you can then utilize those energies for the benefit of yourself and humanity. And if we don't understand them, right, there's sort of they're moving through us, or they're happening subconsciously, and these patterns are showing up. We don't even know how we're ending up in situations. So in other words, we become the master of our universe. And literally, people will not stay on, okay? He-Man, the master of the universe. Hey, I was She-Ra when I was growing up. I love that. Me and my cousin would play He-Man and She-Ra. And I just got my, my broadsword yesterday for Kung Fu. So I have a broadsword now. I'll be learning how to use a sword as a weapon. To protect and serve, not to harm. But most people won't stay on long enough to understand. They don't want to. It's not that they don't want to. It's a lot. It's a lot of information. I myself can't process all of it either. You know, I'm human. It's not an easy journey to take. But most individuals tend to sort of stay at a surface level understanding of their spiritual life. Or not at all, even. Or they numb themselves out because it's easier. It's not easy to go through the process and become the master of your universe. People want to, and they take all kinds of self-help stuff, and then they're like, oh, how do I manifest what I want? I'm not saying that The Secret's not good and all these other things aren't good, but they really honestly are speaking to pop culture and to the masses. To really get deep is to know thyself, right? You have to know you. And to understand you is to start to have those dialogues with the voices in your head and understand what they're trying to tell you, because there's a greater energy at play. Those energies that are coming up in you, these really amazing individuals throughout history, and let's just talk about them. And I always talk about them: Tesla, Leonardo da Vinci, Einstein. The list can go on and on and on and on with all these people. And guess what? They understood this work. They understood spiritual alchemy. I don't care who you talk to, just go back in history and start looking at it. They understood how to stop speaking to me. They all understood how to utilize the energy. And notice, Linga, that, okay, so we have this Oleg who's on here still. Awesome. Thank you. But literally, it's you and I. If I talked about sex and I talked about relationships, I'd have a whole slew of people that, you know, because that's what they're working out right now. They're working out from the soul space. They're trying to understand how to bridge the gap in sexual relations, right? And being with people and individuals. They're trying to figure it out. That's what they're doing. And so when I talk about that, it becomes popular. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with it. But if you want to be the master of your universe, it goes beyond that. And it goes to the place of you really digging deep into yourself and understanding what energies are inside of me. How do I start to bridge the gap of duality that exists around me? If I don't understand how to do that, you can get half results for sure. You can get results. I'm not saying you don't get results from some of these things that you do, but until you dig deeper, you will not be the master of your universe. It's not going to happen. Now, the master of your universe doesn't mean that you control it all, okay? You mentioned sex and you arrived. It's true. I'm telling you, if I just talked about sex, I'd have everybody's attention. So that's how I'm going to start my stuff. Sex. Here we go. I don't have sex. But everybody wants to talk about that subject, that topic. But when we're talking about stuff like the theoretical understanding, right? It's a theoretical understanding. It's not the truth, but it's an opportunity to help people, move them along and help them and guide them into being the master of their universe. Now, their universe, not the ultimate universe, okay? I'm not talking about like this galactic I'm going to create worlds, and you could, but we're not even there yet. Like, we're so far removed from understanding who we are, like who we are, truly who we are, that wouldn't even happen. I mean, you could try, but no one, not everybody is there yet. We had individuals who were there. Again, Tesla, look at what Tesla was doing. He was then using electricity. I mean, I was watching the freaking lightning happen outside my window the other day, and I thought about that. I said, wow, that is that field, that force of electricity, right? That lightning, that, I mean, you can feel it, you can hear it. I mean, think of thunder, man. It just, it rolls and roars, right? And you say, holy Jesus, Tesla was using this energy. He knew how to utilize that energy, how to harness it, how to, I don't want to say manipulate it, but work with it. He knew how to work with lightning, electricity. Like, that's pretty badass, right? He didn't get there by saying, oh, well, I'm just gonna be surface level. And, you know, no, he was digging deep into who he was as an individual. He was using spiritual alchemy. He was an alchemist. As within, so without. We do not create our universe and support the universe until we learn our own universe. Nobody knows who they are. We just don't. That's just the reality. People are walking around and they don't really, really, really know who they are. They don't truly get who they are. If they did, trust me, there would not be this convoluted leadership that we see. It wouldn't be that way, right? So they numb us out. So how do we get there? How do we get to these transpersonal experiences? Again, we have to look at some of the archetypal energies that we're working with. What is talking to us? What is that voice inside us telling us to do certain things? Why is it that I have a different energy or feeling when I'm around certain people and another feeling when I'm around another? How come we're not paying attention to the energy inside of us? Why are we so focused on what's happening externally instead of focusing on what's happening internally? Okay, so one of the popular topics today is COVID. I don't talk about it because for me, it doesn't exist in my universe unless someone's talking about it. But if we did talk about it, and why doesn't it exist in my universe? It exists in everybody else's. Why? Because you're allowing that conversation and that dialogue to dictate your life rather than looking at your own understanding of why is it triggering you? Why do you care? Why do you care if people get shots or don't get shots? Those things inside of you, you get to ask yourself instead of pointing fingers. But the majority of the population, I can tell you right now, I could even go on these platforms if I wanted to, which I won't, and talk about it. Okay. And we can say, look, let's take a look here. What are the conversations? The conversations are people are stupid for not getting shots. People are smart, stupid for getting shots, this and that and the other. And everybody's pointing fingers. That's what's happening. Okay. Oh, what the government's doing. They're stupid. They shouldn't close things down. Oh, the government's stupid. They should close things down. Oh, this, oh, that, oh, that. And guess what? Everybody's been in the dialogue of COVID for I don't know how many years. I have not been in that dialogue. Doesn't exist in my universe, right? It does now because I'm bringing it up to make a point. Rather than pointing fingers, and this is just one thing, and it's because it's so common right now. Rather than pointing fingers, ask yourself, why am I so upset about how if people are getting a shot or not? Why am I so upset at the way the government is right now and the choices that they're making? Why is it that you start to do this introspection? That introspection has something called a duality in it. The duality being, okay, there's us versus them, right? It's the people that don't get the shot, the people that do get the shot. So how do we bridge that into wholeness, into oneness to bring us back to one? We are not separate from one another. We are connected to one another, but we cannot get that dialogue out of our existence and universe until we understand that, until we know who we are. But most people want to stay in that dialogue, and that is okay. There is nothing there. I'm not saying anybody's wrong for this. They can totally be in that dialogue, whatever floats your boat. But if you're looking to transcend, right, or experience what these transpersonal experiences, then what we get to do is bridge the gap between the two. My dialogue about it, if someone says to me, is I have compassion for both. Because why? Because I understand the ego. The ego wants to survive. People don't want to die. They're afraid of death. So if they feel comfortable getting the shot, go for it. If that is going to make you sleep at night and you feel like that's the right thing for you, awesome. And on the other spectrum, if you don't want to get the shot, I understand it's because you don't want to die. You got to understand, these people are both thinking that they're going to die either way. So they don't even understand that they're afraid of the same thing. They can't even get past the you should do this, do that, to really understand that the real issue here is death. They're afraid of it. So looking at it and saying, okay, their ego wants to survive. Their ego thinks that the best thing to do is not get it. Because if I get it, I'm going to die from whatever's inside of it. I don't know what's in that shot. They're saying, I feel more confident that I'm going to survive if I don't get it than to die from COVID, right? This is their mindset. So really, we have two people afraid that they're going to die either way, and they'd rather survive because the ego wants to survive and live. Well, we're talking about the same thing. It's just different angles and perceptions. So how do we bridge the duality of that perception? We recognize that it's the ego at play. That makes us take personal responsibility for how we show up. Because if we can say, well, I don't want to die either, I'm not ready, and I can understand that they don't want to die, then we come to what we call compassion, which is the suffering of the idea of death, right? And we can say, oh, you know what? I don't want to die. They don't want to die. I have compassion. So whatever each individual chooses, they're choosing what they feel is best for their survival. Then we can move on from the conversation. Then we could start to focus on other things. Instead of focusing on what popular culture wants us to. Again, people would rather exit conversations like this to go listen to what popular culture is leading you through. They're programming you. They're programming you to what? To not focus on yourself. They're not saying focus on yourself. They're saying, look over here. I have a carrot. Just watch the carrot here. And that stops you from the transcendence. Because when we start to bridge these dualities and start to understand that we are one, and we start to heal from those dialogues, and we start to recognize that the ego is at play, and we start to let go of the ego and surrender, we start to have transpersonal experiences where we start to feel and connect into the oneness of the source. The source is not caring whether we get shots or not. That's not the concern. The soul is everlasting. It's not afraid of death. But we cannot focus on our immortality of the soul if we're focused on the ego's idea of death and not wanting to live. Okay? I'm not afraid of death. Period. Divide and conquer. Yeah, it's divide and conquer. Thanks, Linga. It is that. And that's one of the things that they've recognized. If you divide and conquer, you get people thinking that they're separate. So bringing ourselves back to oneness is not an easy thing to do. We have collapsed distinctions everywhere. We have misdirections everywhere. People giving us information. We don't know what's real anymore. People don't know what information's what. They get caught in the dialogue of conversations that are not even supporting their spiritual evolution. It literally isn't. It's keeping them in a trap of a conversation that keeps them chasing their tails. And guess what? They're going to go to their deathbed and say, what did I do? why did I spend my entire life talking about this particular topic and it didn't support me in really allowing my soul to truly blossom the way it should? There is a term that I want you guys to look up. It's called IntelliKey. There is this beautiful meditation that I did within one of my courses, and it's the IntelliKey. And IntelliKey is, I think Plato coined the term IntelliKey. I think it was Plato or Aristotle. Oh, I don't remember. It was one of them. Anywho, IntelliKey is ourself maybe 1,000 years from now. If we had 1,000 years to evolve as this stellar being, and in another way to say it, it's the potential, the life force that we have within us. We don't even understand how powerful we are. We don't understand the true potential of our life force. We don't, because we're so misdirected. No one's teaching us how to truly blossom into the lotus that we are. They give us half-truths. They give us misdirection. Anything in pop culture, that I don't really pay attention to pop culture, because I'll tell you what, the esoterics is where it's at. That's where you're going to find the true work that gets to be applied to your life in order to transcend, in order to manifest, in order to be the master of your universe. It's hidden. You think they want people to find it? No. It takes years. I have books that are worth $500, $600, and guess what? They're going to go out of print soon. Because it's truly a map to the soul. It's saying, how do we utilize the soul? What does a soul even look like? How do we tap into that understanding of what is immortal, that's beyond us, that transcends us as a human thing, as the flesh, as material? It goes beyond that. But it's not an easy thing, right? It's totally not. So most people will be like, I'm just going to do it over here. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But for those who are on a journey to really, and are really interested in the life force, it's looking at your full potential. Now, here's the deal. And this is what Plato said, Aristotle, whatever. One of them. I'll figure out who it was and tell you the right person. It's called IntelliKey. So if you're looking it up on Google right now, you guys can tell me who it was. Okay. IntelliKey. So if we looked at Elan Vital is the life force. It is the potentiality of a seed. So think about a seed like an acorn. An acorn has the potential to be a tree. Will it become a tree? I don't know. The seed, if you took a mustard seeds were very popular in Christianity, right? When we talk about Jesus, he talks about the mustard seed. Tiny seed becomes this big old thing, right? But it's that life force within the seed that has the potential to blossom into this magnificent thing. So IntelliKey is that potential within you to blossom into your fullness. Now, I'll ask a question. Do you think that you are truly experiencing yourself in your fullness? Do you think that you've evolved to the point where your true potential has arisen? IntelliKey. Yeah. Do you believe in reincarnation? Let me call. Yeah, call. You have triggered a word for me with the mustard seed, the Arabic word for named. Yeah, you could totally call in, Linga. You're always welcome to call in to my podcast. Reincarnation. Yes, I do. I believe in it. I have the idea of what it might entail and why reincarnation might happen. I don't think reincarnation's like, oh, you're a bad person. I think that our souls have this opportunity to sort of in a body, in the flesh, to do these things on this planet in this time and space. And I think that if we don't truly understand what that is, that we'll sort of get recycled back in to remember, to open up, to reengage. But, you know, I don't know. Can I prove it? No, I can't prove it. But I think that that's definitely a possibility. I think that some people need to come and work things out. But if we're all connected to the one, could reincarnation truly exist? And there's probably arguments for that, right? Because we can go deeper into both sides and try to understand. But do we truly know? I don't truly know. I can tell you that from my own personal experience, I've never been to this planet and I ain't never coming back. Those are two things I know for sure for myself. I started laughing because I was, you know, I'm writing this paper. It's my soul's autobiography. How do you like that? Spiritual autobiography, I mean. And I was talking to my professor and I started laughing. I said, you know, I don't like this dynamic ground theory because it doesn't even, it's, I don't believe it. It's not my experience. It's not how I experienced life. You know, I said, I think it's flipped backwards. I came into this world trying to understand how to be human rather than how to try to be soul. It's totally opposite. I mean, I'm totally flipped around and I'm trying to understand humans. I'll be honest with you. And this is really true. My sister's funny because my sister knows me better than anybody. And when she talks to me, she tells me, now, Natalie, this is how humans. She has to talk to me like that because I don't get it. I don't get how people don't understand their connection to the divine, that the divine spark exists within them and that they have the power, right? And that God or universe or whatever you want to call it is with them always and inside of them. And they are an extension of that. And that is, but most people, I guess, don't get it. Like, I'm just trying to figure out how to be human. Okay. No wonder you were crying when you came out. Yeah, I don't understand humans either. And so I'm trying to learn how to be human so that I can teach humans. So I am human, right? In the flesh, I've come out human. And this is my first time being a human. I don't understand. I just don't. And I'm really trying super hard. I'm trying so hard to understand, to support, to guide. And my professor totally laughed. I was like, you know, I don't get it. How could you? I never went through the process that most individuals go through, which is that forgetting that they are a part of the divine and the divine lives within them. They seen it as this extension of them and then forgetting about it. And no, that's my whole life has been this. It's never not been this. So let me invite Linga and let's take a look and see what Linga has to say. Hey, Linga. Good morning.
Do you remember me telling you about my kids saying before they were five, they were saying, I don't want to forget?
Yes, I do remember that.
Yeah. I wonder if that's the same thing as what you were talking about.
Yes, it could be. So dynamic ground, there's a bunch of theories. And so some of the theories or models that we're going through, right, is one of them is called dynamic ground. It's an extension of Carl Jung's work. And Freudian work where there's sort of this process of an infant and the evolution and the process that they go through. And, you know, as a child, as brand new baby born, they say that they're totally connected to source because they don't have that distinction between us versus them or an I or a self, right? They don't know what a self is. They're just there. And they're just connected into everything. And it even says like in their brain chemistry and everything. So as they start to develop, part of the model talks about the mother and how the mother, or the great mother, right, is sort of that connection, that primal beginning. And the connection to our mother is so powerful. When we disconnect from the mother and the mother, let's say, for instance, the baby's crying and hungry, but the mother can't attend to the needs of the baby right away, that the baby starts to develop an ego because it starts to see the mother as good mother, bad mother, right? I think that's kind of the terminology of the gift. And as the good mother and the good mother, you know, fulfills the needs of the child, the bad mother doesn't. And the kid starts to learn sort of autonomy in a way, like understand that there's this separation. And so that separation then starts to lead into the development of the ego, where the ego says, I'm separate from mother. I'm separate. And then it starts to understand that it is has a self and it's its own self. And then that there's other selves. And it starts to remember things that are separated from it. In other words, a toy. Like if a toy was taken away, it knows that the toy still exists, even if the toy isn't in its view. And so those things start to develop the ego. And it, what it does, according to this theory, is it draws us away from our dynamic ground, which is the source, the non-duality, that that duality starts to exist within us and more, and then we get the id, right? We go through these sexual things, and that's like the next phase of adolescence, where, you know, Freud spent a lot of time and talking about the sexual connection and how that works. And then so as they as the child starts to move and develop, the ego gets bigger and our connection to source starts to fade away. So it's possible that they understood dynamic ground in a way that most they think most people maybe don't understand it. I don't even know if I like the word dynamic ground, but that's what he calls it. I just say source, you know, I mean, connection to the grand design, whatever it is that you want to call it, right? And that perhaps it's the child or your child was pulling away from that. It felt that it was getting disconnected from that more and more. Maybe they could feel, that like they could feel the development of their own ego. And they were afraid to lose that. They were afraid to disconnect from it because the ego, man, the ego will totally doesn't want to be connected to it. It's so afraid of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, like, you know, you've talked about a few things tonight. Well, it's morning for you. But, like, you've talked about a few things about, like, you know, if you actually want to move forward, you've really got to do some soul searching. You know, like, you got to dig a bit deeper. Like, there's no shortcut for that.
Nope.
You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that thing about the mustard seed, like, I don't know, I think I told you that story about my wife getting the word kirka given to her, which means a cloak.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So she was given it to her by one of her spirit guides or something. And she wrote it on this paper. And we ended up going to this Sufi bookstore. And we asked them what this word meant. And she said, oh, it means the black seed or the mustard seed.
Wow. And it was given. Wow, that's awesome. And what did she make of that message?
It was knowledge. It was like a coming of age or a coming of knowledge.
Okay. And did she do anything with that or did she just hold it in her heart for herself and you guys and your family?
I think she sort of just took it as a sign. You know, I think things were on track.
Oh, good. Okay. So it was like a message from the universe telling her you're on the right track, you're understanding, you're listening to the message, that kind of thing.
Yeah, and here's some more, you know.
Uh-huh.
Here's some more for you.
That's right. So when we get messages like that, like for instance, if I get a download or if I hear something, everybody hears these things, right? That's the one thing that really bothers me about the spiritual, some spiritual teams, why I don't follow anybody, but mostly I have my spiritual guides and that's it. But I don't just go out there randomly looking for spiritual people because one thing that really bothers me, and this is one of the, arguments against some of the theoretical models that There's this, oh, we're more spiritual. We're more enlightened. We're more. No, you're not. Get over yourself, first of all. Like, that to me is just, that's ego. That's all ego. Nobody's more of anything. We all have the potential, but it's a choice. Some people choose to and some people don't. Doesn't make them any less valuable or any less important or any less spiritual. We all have these abilities to tap into these transpersonal experiences. We get messages. Everybody gets messages. I mean, I know we all want to feel special. Like, that's part of the ego. Like, I have this big epiphany. And, you know, I used to do it. And I know it's ego. I myself have ego, right? I have ego. Just, I'm here. I wouldn't be here on this planet if I didn't have an ego. You have to, or you would die. Like, literally, you would disappear. But, you know, it's like, oh, I have this great wisdom. And, oh, my God, I have all this. And then it's like, yeah, okay, and? There's people around the world that are having these experiences. The big thing about that and what's important is, are you listening? And what does it mean for you? And applying it to your life. So if she received the message of the mustard seed, what did it mean for her? Well, maybe it meant she's on the right path and that she is the mustard seed and that she needs to realize her full potential, that maybe she feels small or maybe she feels like she's too small when really she's has the potential to be this big monstrous thing, right? That we don't even know. I mean, think about the seeds that, you know, I mean, that's the miracle. We plant the seed and it blossoms into this thing that we're like, whoa, what is that? That's like so beautiful. So
go ahead. You talk about like ego and I'm more spiritual than you and all this stuff. Like, for anyone that's ever done yoga, as a practice in like a class or being taught by a yogi that does it in a class, like, I've had some teachers, I've had probably, I don't know, 7 or 8 yoga teachers, and some of them, they're full of shit. And you can you know? They're all dialed up, or there's like, you know, I can do this, and some of them are just the most, like, I went to this one. I was involved in a job away from home, and I went up and I just dropped in on this yoga class, and it was this 80-year-old lady, and she was teaching yoga to a room full of people, and there was just absolutely no ego about it.
Like, that's so awesome. That's what I'm talking about. It's beautiful, right? It's beautiful. And even the ones that are getting dolled up, again, they're doing them, right? It's like, it's okay. But then the full of shit part comes when it's like, I'm more enlightened than you are, or I'm more, you're not more of anything. Like, no. Like, you don't get to, I don't get to, that's funny. I can just see me on my spirit on this podcast. Like, you know, I'm more spiritual than you guys. Okay. So listen to what I'm saying. I tell people, don't listen to me. Go do your own damn searching. Like, you can listen to me. I'll guide you. I'll support you. And I want every person, I've said this since the beginning. I want every person to recognize the true potential inside. To realize that they are powerful and to tap into that. I can't tell people what that is for them. Go ahead, Linga.
No. You're right. You like, but it's the intimidation. Like, people are intimidated by it because, to be honest, Nat, like, I know you and I know that what you're doing is pure. Like, it doesn't come from any other place. But for a lot of people, The really sad part, I think, is the lack of self-confidence in the fact that you can roll your own journey. Like, you don't have to look at anyone. You can look at someone for inspiration.
Sure.
Your story or my story is not going to answer your questions, you know?
Exactly. That's exactly right. So it's our own personal myth. Now, what does Spirit and Coffee do? It supports you on your own personal journey. That's what this is here for. Will I get opinionated? Of course, I'm human. And I try to tell people, this is my opinion. This is not truth. I don't hold the truth. I can't hold the truth. Nobody can hold the damn truth. That's another thing. I guess I have a lot of triggers. This is my ego being triggered. But I do. I have triggers. And my triggers are like people thinking they hold the ultimate truth. And that is truth. I'm like, stop it. Like, nobody has the truth. Please. You just can't. There might be facts, yes, and science has some facts, but when you apply some of those facts in theory, they're supposed to work. They don't even work. It's not even what's happening intuitively because we're just leaving out this whole other piece. It's too complex. You cannot say that you hold the truth. You know, even mathematics itself, because people say, well, that's the closest thing to truth, right, is mathematics. Like, we can... You know, but then you start to look and they're like, well, okay, well, is God mathematics? Not necessarily, because in some places, 0 = 2. And people don't even understand that concept. But if they understood spiritual alchemy and if they understood the process of tarot and numerology, they would understand why 0 = 2, right? Because in the potential of nothing exists the duality. And the duality arises, and when the duality arises, then the two come together to make a three. So it's like, literally, people, to hold the truth, like, no. It's true that 1 + 1 = 2, 2. Because if we had two apples, well, we have one apple, another apple, well, now we have two apples. But then there's parts of the apple, so could we say a whole apple's one? I don't know. Anyway, I could go on and on philosophizing or whatever about this stuff. But the reality is I get triggered by that too. Like, this is truth. Oh, really? Okay. Let's see. Yeah, 0 = 2. Yep. And so, and then it's funny. So you'll go further. And so people, we're humans, man. We're human. And we only have a little inkling of what's going on. But here's the cool thing. We have this potential. Elan Vital is what it's called, the life force within us that allows us to blossom into something greater than we even ourselves understand. We literally, Linga, do not understand the true potential. If we did, we wouldn't be living in this distorted reality that we have. This weird... distorted illusion we've created.
I've often thought that you die when you get it.
Yeah. It's almost like boom. And at the point of death too, it's funny because people with near death experiences are people who have died. I've had friends who actually have died. Actually, he's one of my spiritual guides as well. I call him a spiritual guide, but he gets it as well. He died and came back to life and came back a whole different person, like completely crazy. So, you know, those near-death experiences, and then also like those near-death experiences just right before the flash of things that go through your mind, most people say it's all the good, like all the bullshit stuff that we made up that was nonsense doesn't even exist, right? Or the materialism that we hold on to. We're not at our deathbed thinking, oh, that beautiful house I bought. Like, that's not what's going through our head. It doesn't. It just disappears, right? What goes through our head is the time we spent with the people we love, really, mostly. It's like, oh, my kids or my wife or my mom and dad or whatever it is. Or, you know, it's those moments that we shared among each other that matter. But we're so caught up in the material that we forget that during this lifetime. Again, ego. And that's why this podcast can go on for the rest. It'll never stop. Spiritual alchemy has been around, I say, since the beginning. Like, You can have historians say, well, in the time of 4 AD is when we started to see alchemy arise. I'm like, yeah, right. Alchemy is happening because it's natural law. just replace it with natural law. It is the unfoldment of the patterns or whatnot. So it can go on forever. We can talk about so many different subjects, and each one of them tied to the spiritual alchemy, the alchemy of life, the process that we go through to get to these, again, these spaces of transcendence. So your wife, going back to your wife, had what we call a transpersonal experience, a spiritual experience. And, you know, I call them downloads. I have my own terminology, but I call them just downloads. And she listened. And there was a message within that particular message she received. And that message was for her. And sometimes another thing, Linga, and for the rest of those people, sometimes your spiritual connections and these things that happen to you are meant for you. I know we want to make them for the world, but sometimes they're not. I mean, I'm one of those. I used to be like, guess what happened? And then nobody gives a shit. Like, yeah, okay, good. Good for you. Keep going. And I'm like, no, but you don't get it. And they're like, nah, we don't. And I'm like, well, they're not supposed to get it. It wasn't for them.
But there's a difference there's a difference in understanding the meaning of someone else's story as opposed to helping people recognize those moments in that manifestation of it, you know?
Sure.
Like, I think sometimes because no one talks at this level, no one's looking for anything at this level. You know what I mean?
Okay, like, sure, but... There's some who are. You.
There is. Yeah, there is. But what I mean is, like, because I've been listening to you for a year now, right?
Yes.
So I start to hear, because you've shared your story or, you know, your thoughts on things, it's like inoculated another dimension to think about. So... You know, I think for people like Lou, who's in here a bit now and stuff, like you said, Nat, it's not your story. Like, you can't tell someone's story, but what you are doing is you're encouraging people to look for their own story.
Yes.
Is that right?
That is correct. We have our own myth. But to find your own story, here's the deal. That's what I'm saying. It's not easy. People want an easy pill, and that's okay. Trust me, there are plenty of religions out there. There are plenty of systems that have been constructed. They've given us mythology to live by. They've said, here's the myth, but here's the deal. And that's good. There's nothing wrong with it. I listen every Sunday. Sometimes I'll listen to Baptist music because I love it. It's so awesome. I listen to Science of Mind. There's we have a spiritual center for spiritual living care where I listen to Reverend Armani. Love her. I agree with a lot of the stuff that they say, and they're there to just help you remember who you are and stuff. And so, but there's systems out there. So of course it's easy and it's popular, right? It's popular to go to, Christian church or to be part of the Buddhist community and all those. And there are processes and they do have processes in place, but you're absolutely right. The distinction, well, why spirit and coffee? So who gives a shit, right? You're right. It's the people who are ready to, these old paradigms don't necessarily support what we see happening in the world today. They still do. Part of it still does. But if we looked at the time of Jesus or Buddha, or if we looked at the time of Moses and all of these other prophets that came along, we see that the circumstances were similar but different. And so right now we're dealing with something that they necessarily weren't dealing with, and that's technology, right? Technology is a huge thing right now that we're dealing with in this generation, in this new, what I want to say, evolution of the world, right? This new world. Okay, so we'll look at it from like the native traditions. They think that there's several worlds that we go through. We're in the fifth world or something like that, in according to some legends or whatever it is, prophecies. This new world brings with it technology, a technology that wasn't the same as the technology back then. So literally our times are different, calls for different language, calls for different perception, different way of viewing the world. Okay, so this is what spiritual alchemy does. And this is why this podcast exists, because each one of us has our own personal myth. Each one of us has our own personal universe. We are a walking universe. Our body itself is a walking universe. We have our own story and journey and path. We have our own process for transcendence. I don't have your process, but I can help you figure out what that is. That's what this is for. And it is hard, and there is going to be a very small few individuals, because they already have a process in place for them. But we realize that those processes are not getting us to the level we need to get to. It's still beautiful. We still talk about some of these religious. I still talk about Jesus Christ, because there are teachings in there that are never going to go away. They're always going to be. But then how do we then take those and apply it to what we see today? Well, we've got to start waking up and remembering who we are. We cannot heal unless we do that. That's part of this. This is our own personal internal healing. Not easy, because the biggest part of that, Linga, is taking personal responsibility for all of the shit that shows up. We have to be responsible for it. We have to learn how to be responsible for the suffering that we inflict upon ourselves and how we self-sabotage. When we start to like take that back and we start to work with it and gain our power back, we can start to support ourselves into this. So you're right. There'll be like two people maybe on here. It's like the teacher of teachers, right? Because I'm teaching people how to teach themselves. I'm giving you back the power. I'm not giving it to you. I'm reminding you, I should say, that you have the power. It's yours to reclaim. But most people don't want to. They just want to. The technology, we're fighting against technology at this point. Technology puts us in front of the TV 24/7. The programming. Their programming. Not programming for your higher good or your process. So notice that most individuals will be like, oh, you just need to go do meditation and you'll be fine. You need to do this. Go do that. Okay. A psychologist will say, well, you just need to do this, and you're going to be fine. No, what I'm saying is, go try on different practices and find the one that works for you. I don't know what's going to work for you. I can't tell you that. I know it works for me. And it might work for you, but it might not. You might be like, that damn meditation, that don't work. It's not working for me. Yoga doesn't work for me. I love yoga, but let me tell you what I love. I love Kung Fu. That works for me. And guess what? Meditation and yoga is a part of Kung Fu. They were monks, but they were warrior monks. I want to be picking up weapons. I don't want to be sitting there just stretching all day. We do that too. But I'm a warrior. I'm an active person. I want to move. It's funny because people, based on what I talk about, this spiritual stuff, everybody's like, man, you should be a yoga instructor. I'm like, what? You don't know me then. I'm not a yoga instructor. I want to go punch the bag and box. That's what I want to do. Which, by the way, I just got a broadsword. I'm excited to go swing that thing around. funny. Okay, anything else, Linga? Why haven't you had a prophet? Why haven't we had a prophet since Jesus? Oh, we've had prophets. No one's listening. You know that Jesus wasn't popular until after he was dead. I hate to say it, and I don't mean to laugh, but it's true. It's not like Jesus was this prophet that was so popular back in his day. People are getting killed for speaking out right now. But guess what? 500 years from now, they're going to be prophets.
Take care.
People aren't listening. That's the problem. You got to listen up. No one's listening up. You know, if I literally had, let's just say me, there's tons of people like me right now. They call it the 44,000 ascended masters that are showing up, right? So there's people all over the place that are trying to teach people. And the people are resistant. They're clawing to hold on to the old paradigm. They don't want to transcend or move forward. Oh, Linga, you ended the call. Okay. So I don't know if you're going to come back on, Linga, but you're welcome to. Anywho, and I probably should be actually wrapping this up, but totally awesome conversations that, Jesus, right? He got in trouble for speaking. We're at a time right now where that's happening. I got a flight. Oh, awesome. Okay. That's awesome. I would love for you to snore on my podcast. I don't care. I'm just kidding. Linga, you're always welcome. I love you. You're like brother, right? My subconscious was listening. That's funny. So when we looked at Jesus and he spoke out, he wasn't popular. He didn't become popularized until after his death, right? That's when everything was like, what did we do? They were telling, say, kill him at the stake, kill him at the stake. And he didn't give a shit. He still talked. So we're at the point where people are speaking up again. People are, but, you know, who's listening? He had only 12 people following him, right? He had disciples. He had 12 people listening. And those 12 people, one of them betrayed him and all this stuff. But, you know, it's not like Jesus Christ was this massive popular person. People wanted him dead. And they wanted him dead so much they killed him. And then after they were like, oh, man, what was he telling us? That God lives within us. The same thing we're telling people today. But we get to these points where we start to, and it, let's just say that this grew. Let's say, for instance, this podcast grew and I had tons and tons of people and I was teaching them how to tap into their own personal power. And some of these individuals had really, really, let's just say, engineering skills, or let's say they had they understood, chemistry really well, and they tapped into their spiritual alchemy and they connected the two. Guess what? They're not going to be happy, because you guys are going to start to create things, right, in life that is going to scare them. Technologies that are going to scare what the government says, they'll shut you down. That's what happened. When you bridge spiritual alchemy with your gifts, you end up with Tesla. You end up with Einstein. You end up with these individuals who do things that get attention by the governments. Okay. And then when that attention by the governments comes in, they tend to kill those people because they don't want you to wake up. So I hope that makes sense. Okay. Hey, Slow Life. And obviously something that needs to be talked about a little bit more and a little bit deeper. But yes, thanks, Linga, for coming on. You're always welcome, because Linga gets it. He gets what Spirit and Coffee is doing. He understands what spiritual alchemy is and what this podcast is about. It is about you reclaiming your power. I don't know what that is for you. I cannot tell you. You have to take personal responsibility for that. most people will tell you, here's a process. This is what you need to do. You're going to transcend. I'm not saying that. And I'm never going to say that because I don't know. I could give you processes. I could walk you through processes. I could give you my process. It may not work for you. But guess what? You have something inside of you that tells you, I know how to do this. You were born knowing how to do this. You just have to wake up and do it. Wake up and do it. What is your question, Slow Life? I think I'm a little bit late to to an appointment, to be honest with you. I probably should get going. But Slow Life, if you have a question, you can email me and I can talk about it tomorrow in the podcast, because I'm already 7 minutes late to my appointment. You're probably going to be wondering where I'm at because I'm over here totally wanting to serious question. Yes, email me, Slow Life, to spiritandbrew@gmail.com. spiritandbrew@gmail.com. And I promise you tomorrow I will go over your question. Okay. I really have to go. Otherwise I would stay on. I need to get off and even tell her that I'm running late because I was on my podcast a little longer than I should be. Like, this is already an hour and 15 minutes. I usually go 30 minutes. But yes, please, Slow Life, email me and I promise you I will get to your question tomorrow. I really do. Okay. I have a social platform, Spirit and Coffee. So you can go on Facebook. You see my big face if you want to see my big old face at Spirit and Coffee One on Facebook. My website is Spirit. You can find me on Instagram, but you could find me on my website, spiritandcoffee.com. Spiritandcoffee.com. And all my information is on spiritandcoffee.com. Okay. Love you guys so much. Thank you for being a part of this. Have the most fantastical day. I love you so much and I will see you soon. Bye-bye.